The Shusmarino Rav Shlita, this shir is said L'Iluy Nishmas. Well, it's a double sponsorship. It's L'Iluy Nishmas, the father of David Rabinovitz, Rav Yosef Ben Eliezer, Zichrono Livracha. It's also L'Iluy Nishmas, our dear friend Ashley Klinger, who was a regular at this shir, Rav Avram Tzvi Ben Mordechai Yaakov. We wish both respective families Arichas Yomim. Now, we particularly remember Ashley, who was a person, a quiet person, a humble person with many deeds, and he was a role model for us all. Chumrah and Kula. I remember Rabbi Cooper Zatzal used to have a couple of quips on this subject. And the first one I remember him saying was, why is it that when you ask the Rav, he appears to be Machmeh, but when you discuss it with a Balabos, he appears to be Meikel? Machmeh means going more strict. Meikel means going more lenient. So what does it really mean? What is a Chumrah? I'm sure nobody here actually practices a Chumrah that they contact the Inland Revenue and say, look, I want to pay a bit of extra tax just to make sure that I'm doing the job properly. And I'm sure that no one in school asks their teacher for extra homework. But the idea of a Chumrah is that when the mitzvah is X, you're doing X plus 1. The Torah says, lo so sifu v'lo sigru mimenu. You may not add, you may not take away. So what is the actual ambit of Chumrah? How do we understand it? We mustn't obviously confuse the idea of Chumrah and Din. If something's a halacha, then you have to keep to it. Some people think that Chol of Yisrael is a Chumrah. To drink shomed milk is a Din. All right, there are those who rely on a certain heter about what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein calls the milk of the companies. But also, there are times when a person might have a practice or a custom where he has a chashash, he's worried about transgressing a certain avera. So to be on the safe side, you might take certain precautions, whereas others will say you don't have to go that far. A typical example which comes to my mind is the custom of gebrox on Pesach, where some people do not want to have any food where matzah is mixed with water because they're worried that there's an unbaked part of the matzah which might turn into chometz. So that's more like a chashash. Although maybe on the Gaon, he frowned at the custom. He hung Kneidlich in his window to show everybody it's perfectly all right to eat it. Rabbi Avigdor Miller, his wife always made Kneidlich. And somebody came to him and said, I've had this thing my whole life not to eat gebrox, and I want to start eating gebrox. He said, no problem. All you need to do is Hatoras Nadarim. And he sat him down. He did Hatoras Nadarim. He said, right, now you can enjoy your Pesach. We know that there are people who will refrain from eating any of the five kinds of grain coming from this year's produce until Pesach. It's called Chodosh. And there is an issa not to eat such food. And you see some bakeries advertising, we sell old flour. You know, Tesco will say, we sell new flour. But you also get Jewish bakeries who advertise the same. The Bach is Leheta, and we are lenient in many ways. But these are all based on dinim. To wash my macharonim at the end of a meal. It's the custom of the Yekkers not to. Why? Because Tosfos say that there is no such thing nowadays as the sodomite salt, melach sodomis, which can cause blindness when you rub your eyes. But nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch says, my macharonim chova, it's a duty. Then you can't really call it a chumrah. Or to bench at the end of a meal, to bench at the end of a meal over a cup of wine, the Shulchan Aruch says, mitzvah lavori chalakos. It's a mitzvah. So you can't call that a chumrah. And if a person wants to grow a beard, very nice. We want to discuss the electric shavers, and there are many poskim who don't like the idea of electric shavers. So maybe it's not a chumrah. And there are people who will want to bring Shabbos out later than everybody else, particularly in midsummer in the northern countries, because the sky doesn't get so dark. The sun doesn't go down far enough to make a really black sky. So there are people who will be machmir according to Rabbeinu Tam. But the question is, are they being machmir or are they just conforming to a different view? Well, the list is endless. But the important thing to know is that when one does practice a stringency, it's important that it's done for the right reasons. It's done sincerely. Certainly there may be people in the community who want to fool others. So what do? In the Haredi world, they put on their heads a big black hat or a shtreimel. In the non-Haredi world, they will get what they allege is Techeles, blue tzitzis, and to show everybody, see what a good frum guy I am. It's got to have the right intentions. But on the other hand, one who is machmir is doing a protection. In the very first Mishnah of Pekei Avos, it says, Moshe Kibel Torah B'Sinai, Masor Lashua, etc. V'asu Siyog LaTorah. And there is such a thing as making a fence around the Torah. What does it mean, making a fence? To make the precautions that you don't do something which will transgress. So therefore, with such precautions, you will not fall by the wayside. And in Pekei Avos, in third Perek, this idea of Siyog is pronounced where it's written, Rabbi Akiva, in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Zayin, Chog V'Kalas Rosh, says Rabbi Akiva, Maginas Odom Le'eva, Masoret Siyog LaTorah, what is handed out to you is a protection for Torah, Masoret Siyog LaOsher, for riches, Nadorim Siyog LaPrishus, Siyog LaChoch Moshtiko, to be a wise person, the best thing to do is to keep silent. So you get there the idea of siyog protections, where they're not actual dinim, but they are chumras to protect. That if the fence falls down, at least you've got your din intact. So you do get certain institutionalized chumras. For example, mukta on Shabbos. You don't move an article which you might come to forget and do an aveira with, or you might come to carry it. So mukta is a kind of chumra, but it's a din which the rabbis established as a precaution.
But can it be a chumra if everybody has to do it?
If everybody has to do it, then it's become a din. Or it's minag Yisrael Torahi. Another example is shemura matzah. What does it mean, shemura matzah? You have to watch that the matzah doesn't turn into chomet. So from the time of kneading the dough, you're adding water to it, so you're going to be careful. But the matzahs we buy for Pesach are shemura mishas, where you've got mishas kitsiro, when you use for Seder night, from the time it's actually cut in the field, it's being watched. And there's even a posuk which is used to defend that, ushamartem es hamatzos. But it's really a chumra. But it's institutionalized because everybody does it, so it's a minag Yisrael. And we have, from the time of tachino, time of grinding for the other matzahs, which is also a kind of chumrah, because the actual time you add the water is the mishas lishon. So you've got there certain things which we treat as dinim, even though they are precautions. On the other hand, you also get certain dinim which people think are only chumras. There is a din, gevinas akum. If the non-Jew makes cheese and you are sure that it contains all kosher ingredients, that cheese is still not allowed, because the rabbis made such a strong precaution, because it's so common for non-Jewish cheeses to contain non-kosher ingredients. Therefore we have a din of gevinah sakum. So we don't want to confuse what is din and what is chumra. Sometimes you get a mitzvah which is mitzvah min hamuvchar, like to daven at sunrise, your Shemona Esra is called a mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's a special way of doing a mitzvah. So although it might be looked upon as a chumrah, it can be embodied within the mitzvah itself. So what is the general attitude about chumras? Because some people, when they hear the word chumrah, they have an allergy to it and they get frightened. But what is the general approach to it? So on this Mishnah in Pekei Avos, the very first Mishnah, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his Peirush, he says there's a pasuk of Shemartem is Mishmarti, Vayikra Yudches, and he says it's a siog who dovah God el meshubach. It's a wonderful thing. It's a praiseworthy idea that a person keeps chumrah. It's a ged el mitzvah. It acts as a protection, that not to succumb to temptation to do something wrong, that if one's a Yirat Shemaim, one will not fall. And he says something even more amazing, that the actual proof of your Yiras Shemayim is more in your Chumrah than in your Din, because when you're keeping a mitzvah, you know you have to keep it, so you keep it. But that might be a mundane routine matter, but when you have a Chumrah to protect it, to be more stringent, he says that's proof of your Yiras Shemayim. So he says, Divrei Chachomim Yesodos V'Ilonos L'Yiras Shemayim. Yes?
Doing what you have got to do is more
praiseworthy
than doing something voluntarily.
Yes, true. It is greater to do something which you are commanded to do than something which you're not commanded to do. Correct. It's a question of balance, where here we are talking about not doing an actual mitzvah, but doing something which can enhance that mitzvah. So in that enhancement, or it's true you're not commanded to do it, you're not commanded to do a Qumrah, but in the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, by practicing this stringency, you are demonstrating your dveikus, your closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban writes in Parshas Vayikra Yotzes, on the Posuk Kadoshim Tiyu, you shall be holy. He says, what does it mean, you shall be holy? Well, we think we know what holy means, but he says, when you means you should be holy, he says, when you refrain from doing things which you are allowed to do. You are allowed to eat in plentiful quantities. You are allowed to drink wine as much as you want. You're allowed to meat and that kind of thing. That there are many times in the month or whatever when one is allowed to be intimate with one's wife. But if one indulges in all the things that you are allowed to do, for example, if you have 5 steaks for breakfast, you're perfectly allowed to have 5 steaks for breakfast. But what's it going to do to you? So he says, Shaniya Purushim Min Hamutaros, that the idea of Kadoshim to you means that you separate yourself from things which are allowed. The Seichemed at the beginning of Mareches Achila talks about people who don't eat meat, don't laugh at them, he says. It's a kind of perishus, that if they feel sincere reasons for doing so, good luck to them. And of course, remember Noach, who got drunk, and what happened then. Remember Lot, who got drunk. So, you know, Chumras can be a very good thing. And Rabbi Chia was praised because he never indulged in any chatter which was called idle chatter. So he practiced a certain kind of chumrah. And these things, says the Ramban, are to be praised. And if we bring that down to the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, he talks about Zahirus and Zerizus, being careful not to do an Avera, and Zerizus to show eagerness, to show passion when you are doing your mitzvahs, because it shows Avas Hashem. It prevents a sort of moral regress. It's like a defense mechanism. Yosef HaTzadik is called a Nozer in Parshas Vayechi, in Vezos HaBrocha. Yosef called Nazir Echov. He took extra precautions, so he's praised for it. And as a result, he didn't fall with all the temptations surrounding him when he was in Mitzrayim. So in fact, there's a gematria. The word machmir is the gematria of 288, which is the same as the word chotzer, an enclosure. Because when a person is being machmir, he's encapsulating, he's protecting. There's a gemara in the Dorin Daf Tes. Shimon HaTzadik meets this Nozir, and he asks him, why did you become a Nozir? Because after all, a Nozir is criticized. A Nozir has to bring a Korban Chatos, because he's denying from himself the pleasures of the world which are allowed. So he said, I saw my reflection in the water, and I saw how good looking I am, and it made me feel like succumbing to immoral behavior. I felt the temptation, and therefore I decided I'm going to become a Nozir. So he was praised for it, for taking on a Chumrah. So that is the idea behind dedication, the positive attributes to Chumrah. But we've got a very big question on this. Because if Chumras are such a wonderful thing, why is it that we find certain Chumras are actually criticized, even condemned, and even deplored? And that's what we're going to try and understand, and then see what these criteria are which might justify them. And the example I'm thinking of, first of all, is in Hilchas Sukkah, where in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Tesif Zayin, it talks about the rainy Sukkah, particularly on the first night of Sukkahs, when you should eat a kazayas in the Sukkah. The rest of Sukkahs, is, you don't have to eat the whole time, but when you're eating the first night, you have to be there, even if it's raining. So it's discussed, do I wait or shall I just eat now? And it's written that a person who sits in a rainy sukkah is called a hediot. Note the phonetical relationship to the word idiot. A person is a fool. There is no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah when it's raining. It says teshuv kein tidur. You live in the sukkah like you live in your house. If you've got your roof leaking in your living room, you won't sit in your living room. You'll go into another room or you'll call the plumber or whatever. But it's... You call the roofer. Okay, thank you. So a person who once says, I'm going to be machmir, I'm going to sit in the sukkah even though it's raining, he's called an idiot. He's called a fool. So what about all this thing we said about a person whose machmir is very praiseworthy and remarkable and positive? How do we reconcile that? The Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, Perek Gimel, Halach Aleph, says, if a person feels that there's so much bad moral behavior in the world, there's so much jealousy and lust and other bad virtues, if a person says there's so much kin of time and kavod, I'll go to the other extreme. I will refrain from eating meat, from drinking wine, from getting married. I will sit in sackcloth and ashes. I will fast. After all, does it not say, Kachi Darko Shel Torah, this is the way of learning Torah, Paspa Melach Tochel, V'mayim B'meshur Tishtei, you live on bread and water, V'al Oritz Tishan, and you sleep on the floor, V'chai Tzatich, yeah, you live a life of trouble. So he says, without actually picking on this Mishnah, because there, the Mishnah of learning Torah, you have to be prepared to live such a lifestyle in order to learn Torah. That's one explanation. But what does the Rambam say? A person who goes to this other extreme of refraining from wine and meat and the other pleasures of the world which are allowed, Hamahalech b'derezeh nikro chote. Such a person is a sinner. So there we don't have the wording we had to form the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah of a person who is a hediot who practices chumras. Here we have an expression of a person who is a sinner who is practicing these chumras. He is evil. And indeed the nazir, after he finishes his period of nazirus, has to bring a korban chatos. He has sinned. And kal v'chomer, if the nazir needs kapara simply from refraining from wine, then all the more so if you refrain from wine and meat and marriage and so on, and you're fasting, then all the more so you must be a sinner. It's not enough, the attitude of the Rambam is, you know, it's not enough what the Torah has already forbidden you already. The Torah has set out for you what the mitzvahs are, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. If you add to that and you forbid upon yourself, so our kol d'roi mo'elu, tzivah shloma alti tzadik harbe. Shloma HaMelech said, don't try and be such a big tzadik. Don't be such a gross affirmer, to use the modern language. And Rashi in Yisro, on Mamleches Kalim v'goy kodosh, she says, lo pochus, lo yoseh. Not less and not more. Just like you should not distract, you may not add. There's a very interesting piece in the Machzor on Erev Yom Kippur, just before Kol Nidre. There's a minhag to say Tfilah Zochot. It's in all the art scroll Machzorim. And after the Tfilah Zochot, there is a vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim, which is a relatively shorter piece compared to Tfilah Zochot. And if you look at that vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim, there's some remarkable phrases where you're doing a vidui where you are admitting transgressions. And you admit, you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaven Sarah Mare, you see. I was like the rebellious child, the Ben Sarah Mare, Ke'eved Mare Al Adonov, or like the servant who is rebelling against his master, Ketalmid Cholek Al Rabbo, or a pupil against one's Rav. Esasher Tihartoti Mesi. What you said is Tahar, I said is Tomei. Not the other way, well, he does say it the other way around as well. What you said is Tomei, I made Tahar. But the first expression is, what you said is Tahar, I said is Tomei. I was Machmir. And that's a sin, and I'm now doing a vidui over it. Esasher Hitarto, Osarti. What you said is allowed, I said is Osar. I said is forbidden. And what you, where you were lenient, I was more machmir. And then also says Vasher, Hechemarto Hekalti, where you're more strict, I was more lenient. But what's going on here? We have said before that the most beautiful thing about a chumrah is that it's a siyagat Torah, it refines your personality, it shows you're an avas Hashem, that you're a yirat shemayim, all the wonderful things about a chumrah. And yet here we've got a vidui just before Kol Nidre, where you are admitting that you went a bit far in going extra, which you should not have done. This is mind-boggling. Now, obviously, there are some chumras which are really totally out of order, and the Gemara in Sota, Chafalav, Chafbeis, talks about these, where you're just plain foolish or plain stupid. It talks about one who keeps his eyes down on the ground the whole time in order that he never sees a woman when he's walking in the street and he bangs his head into a wall and he's gushing with blood. Up is a pot. All right. Or one who exaggerates his humility by making very small footsteps, not lifting up his feet much. That's the Gemara as well there. And he trips over. Or there the Gemara talks about a person who walks past a drowning woman. He says, I can't go and save her because I'm not going to look at a woman. I'm not going to touch a woman. Well, okay, in normal circumstances, you don't gaze at a woman, you don't touch a woman. But for goodness sake, she's dying. There's a halacha which says, Lo samo del dam reecho. You're murdering, in a way, in a sense. So that's called a chosid shota, a pious fool. Tosus there talks about somebody who refuses to go into save a drowning child because he's still wearing his tefillin. He's, I can't wear, I'm wearing my tefillin, I'll get wet. What an idiot. You dive in the water with your tefillin, okay, so you'll get another pair. Save that child's life. So obviously these are chumras which are totally out of order. But what we've been speaking about earlier are not necessarily those kinds of chumras. We're talking about sincere things where, you know, other people might not suffer. Why shouldn't I wait up to eat in a sukkah and wait for the rain to stop? I want to do the mitzvah properly. I put all this work into making this sukkah, building it.
I want to do the mitzvah.
I want to now do the mitzvah. And, you know, okay, I'll wait. So I wait till midnight. And there is even an opinion brought down in the Mishnah Berurah about waiting till chatzos on the first night. So we'll have a look at that. The Shalos HaTshuva Shvus Yaakov in Chelek Gimel Simon Mem Hei, Rav Yaakov Resha, he was a Rav in Metz in France, and he writes it was in the year Shnas Tov Pei Gimel, which is about 261 years, it's the year 1752, about 261 years ago. And he says, Lo yodati eich molu libom. I cannot understand how it fills people's hearts. L'hischachem yose mechochmeinu, zikron ha-bracha. The people are trying to be more chumra than our rabbis were, than Chazal were. Chazal said, if it's raining into the sukkah, all right, you eat a gazayas and that's it. But you don't have to wait for the rain to stop. You do what you have to do within your capabilities. L'hachmeh b'chumras yaseiros, he writes in very strong language. Extra chumras, yosemim asheich miru b'shatav poskim. People are making more chumras than there are in the Gemara and in the poskim, in the Shronim and the Acharonim. And Rav Volba writes in his Alei Shur Chelek Beis, he says people sometimes don't understand what frumkeit is. And he criticizes the word frumkeit, where sometimes there's a natural instinctive urge to draw closer to Hashem. But he says, don't allow it to become egoistic or self-centered. You need some common sense. So he says, the Shulchan Aruch says it's true the Maharil does mention a chumra about waiting up. But he says, if you look at the Tshuva's Maharil, in Simakov Kuf Pei Aleph Daf Chafei, he says, I haven't seen anyone practice this. So although he mentions the idea about waiting up till midnight, he says, Leroisi Rabosai Nagim Kach. And if you've got old people, young people, children at the table, you've got guests at the table, you know, what sort of Simchas Yom Tov is this? Ein lecho meniach Simchas Yom Tov Yosem is that? And he says the ways of the Torah are drochel darchei noam. They are ways of pleasantness. So you don't make everybody starve. It's arrived with Yom Tov and you've got to wait and wait and wait. Make kiddush, eat something. All right, if it stops late, you can come back into the sukkah, fine. But he says this is totally out of order. So the first principle which comes up here is don't be machmir at the expense of another mitzvah. There is another mitzvah which has to be kept. Simchas Yom Tov. Hachnasas Arachim, you've got guests at the table. And the Torah is Drachel Vachinoam. So don't make a chumrah which then, as a result, tips the scales against another mitzvah. And that's the first principle. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach criticized husbands who were inside an Eruv, which is where the Rav said it's kosher. I have to be careful what I say now. Where the Rav said an Eruv is kosher, and a fellow as a bocher was never carrying because he was machmin, not using the Eruv. And then he gets married, and he has kids, three kids, four kids, five kids, and his wife has problems with a buggy and pushing and carrying, and he refuses to do so. So he says, that person is over the mitzvah of after l'recho kamocho. He is transgressing. Reb Moshe Schwab and Gateshead used to warn boys not to go to bed too late and not to learn too late, because it was the Yetzer Hara's way of making them miss the morning minyan the following morning. And the Rabbonim have told people, don't be so machmir on when you're on an airplane. You want to make a minyan, and it's bothering people, and it's pushing people, and the staff can't cope, and it's making a chilul Hashem. Sit in your seat and say your Shemone Esra. But don't do anything which is at the expense of another mitzvah or the expense of others. There's a Sefer Das Torah, Simon Mem Gimel Sif Beis, which says that if you go to a wedding, and there are Rabbonim sitting at your table who have given a heksher to that food, they've sanctioned it and they're eating it, and you say, no, it's not kosher enough for me, that is disrespectful. If you want to refrain from eating from that food at home, see, don't eat that food at home. But then if you don't want to eat that food, then don't go to the wedding. But it's disrespectful if you're going to refrain from eating that food. All right, you might be worried about the antibiotics they put in the chickens. Well, that's something else. But if it's mitzad kashrut, you're not entitled to do that. And there are some people, as we know, in certain parts of London, who daven mincha very, very late. They say, well, it's all right, it's good enough. It's pitch black dark outside, and they say, mincha, mincha. You know, so they want to be machmir. Why? Because we keep Rabbeinu Tam Nacht, and Nacht is really later. So as a result of keeping a later Nacht, they say, we can still daven mincha. At least on Tisha B'Av, their mukbits put their tefillin on before Shkia. But, you know, you can't do one chumrah at the expense of a mitzvah.
You could argue that being maker and davening, you know, everybody's
all right, it's a debate. There are certain sections of the community who have this practice to daven shacharis very late, after Sof Siman Tefillah. When you challenge them about it, oh, we say the tehillim, all 150 tehillim before shacharis, to make sure we got the right kavanah. And they miss Sof Siman Tefillah. So the Yetzer Hara knows that you're not going to transgress properly. You're not going to go out and rob a bank. You're not going to commit acts of immorality. So the Yetzer Hara says to you, go and do a chumrah. I remember in Geisha Yeshiva, there was a certain bocher who was going around to people trying to persuade them to take on more chumras. And the Rabbonim told boys to keep away from him. I came across an amazing story. There's a sefer about Rav Shalom Shvadron called The Voice of Truth, an art scroll sefer. He was the Maggid of Yerushalayim. He was a brother-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a gadol hador. And he visited London several times in the 1950s. And it turned out that he had to stay in London over Pesach. He had brought with him, easier to package, some machine-baked matzahs. He even had a chumrah, which they had as a minag Yerushalayim, that your drinking water for Pesach, you store up before Pesach, so that if there is chometz in it, it's bottle. Because once Pesach comes, chometz is never bottle. But that was a chumrah that he kept. He didn't impose it on others. But he had a machine-baked matzahs, and he was trying to find a family who would host him for Seder night. And when they saw he had machine-baked matzahs, he was told by two different potential hosts, look, we're very sorry, but in our house, it's practically chometz. You can't, I'm afraid. We're very sorry. We don't want to offend you. But in the end, he found a third person who was willing to host him, but asked him to sit at a separate table. Can you believe it? I mean, there you've got a mitzvah of Achnosas Arachim. For goodness sake, you've got a heksher on these matzvahs. You're putting somebody to shame. And this was a gadol hador, Rav Shalom Shvadron. Can you believe it? And this is the way some people are. So the bottom line is, you know, don't do a chumrah which can then end up transgressing another mitzvah. After all, I mean, I know a certain family who, a single parent family, a woman with five children, she's divorced, and she's been declined invitations by certain families, I've heard from a reliable source. Why? Because she's got teenage daughters, and these families have sons, and they don't want girls from other families sitting at the table when their sons are home. I mean, all right, it's true some girls might not dress adequately, but bring out a shawl and ask them to put it on. But don't forsake people who are yearning to be at a Haimish Friday night table because of chumras like this. It's not within Das Chachomim no Tehemenu. And so that leads us now into another principle. Don't do a chumrah which is at somebody else's expense. Before we were talking about forsaking another mitzvah. But don't do something which is on, what we say in Yiddish, on Yenam's cheshbon. The example which really comes to mind was when I was, my car was blocked in a shul car park. And so I patiently waited for somebody to come out, and this guy came running out later, and he said, oh, I was attending the Mishnayos shir. Very nice, he was learning Torah. But on my cheshbon, that's not the way to do it. In Shemos Lamed Vov, people were bringing gifts for the Mishkan. And the gifts were plentiful. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after a while, said, enough, stop. And the Pasuk says, and then it says v'hoser. So the Mefarshim jump on this because dayom means there was enough. V'hoser means there was extra, there was left over. What does it mean? Was there enough or was there too much? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I yasi od melacha v'kolayom me'ovi. So in the Mishkan there was only one vessel for each function. And the vessels were smaller than in the Beit HaMikdash. There were other differences as well, but we won't go into that. So if the gifts that Moshe Rabbeinu had were extra and more, why didn't he make extra kelim? Why didn't he make bigger kelim? Moshe wanted to teach, you don't be machmir on somebody else's cheshbon. There are people who have to carry the Mishkan. The Mishkan was meant to be portable. If people have to schlep it, we're not going to make it heavier than it has to be. And the Sfasemes writes Al HaTorah, he says, also when people were bringing extra for the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu felt maybe it wasn't already L'Shem Shemayim when they were bringing too much. Maybe people were being egoistic. They wanted to show everybody that they're bringing. So you don't do a chumrah on somebody else's account. And there is in fact an example of this in Bereishis Yud Daled, where after the fighting, Avraham Avinu was having a dialogue with the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom said, take whatever you want, take the spoils from the battle. Vayomer melech Sodom el Avraham, ten li hanefesh v'rechush tach tach loch. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm sorry, I refuse. Im michut v'atzroch nal, I won't even take a shoelace. V'lo tamah ani hashavti es Avraham. I don't want to say that people say Avraham Avinu came rich because of the king of Sodom. So Avraham Avinu practiced the Chumrah. But then Avraham Avinu says, Bilo Dai, but apart from me, Rakashach Luhano Orim, the others who are with me, V'chelok Anashim HaShelchu, there was Ono Eshkel Mamre, Hengi Chuchelkom. Okay, they can take something. They want something to eat. They want to take something with them. Gesundheit. I'm not going to impose my Chumrah on them. If they want to practice a chumrah for themselves, that's up to them. But it's not for me to impose it. A very important principle which comes out from this pasuk. The Chometz Chaim talks about it in his Perush Al HaTorah, in Yud Dalet Chaf Dalet. He says, Avraham Avinu, for himself he was machmir, not to benefit from the king of Sodom, but for others, let them decide. And the raid of the sukkah is a similar example that, you know, we were talking about sacrificing another mitzvah, but also you are inconveniencing other people. They are starving. They've been busy on Erev Sukkot getting the sukkah ready or getting their lulav ready, and now they're hungry. Don't make them wait just because of the raindrops. It's not right. So that was the second principle. Don't do a chumrah at somebody else's expense. Another interesting principle which comes out on chumrah, which comes from the Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein. He's asked the question in Evan Oesachelek Dalad, Simon Yod Ches Ois Dalad, where people started practicing when they were baking their matzahs, the hand-baked matzahs, they have a big pole with which they put the dough in the oven. So there were people who started this chumrah that for each new batch, after 18 minutes, they would throw the pole away and take a brand new one. And he was asked for his opinion about this. And he deplored it. He said, you just must not do this. He says, first of all, there aren't enough sticks in the world to cater for doing such a thing. For each dough of matzah. He says, it doesn't make sense. The practice is to clean it, some sandpaper it, after 18 minutes, to make sure that any residue of dough on it will not remain and then turn subsequent baking into chometz. So you clean it. But he says, if you introduce such a chumrah, then poor people will not be able to afford it. They won't be able to afford the matzah because you're going to put a premium on the price. So where ordinary people can't be strict, even those who are rich should not do it. That is a very important principle with chumrah. Don't take on something which poor people are unable to do. I remember once a certain Rav in this part of London stood up before Pesach and told the congregants that they should go out and buy new kalim, they should have new cutlery, they should have different sets and not bother with kashering. Now if it's metal, you can kasher it. Alright, kashering is not a mitzvah, but it's practical. And there's a certain lady I know whose name was Gerda Wiesenberg, Zichrona Livracha. She went up to this Rav and she said, what do you expect me to do? For years and years and years, it was good enough for kashering our cutlery. And now you're telling me to buy new cutlery. Maybe you can give me the money, because I haven't got it. So the Rav backtracked, said, yeah, okay, you can kasher. So there are practical and financial implications when it comes to taking on a chumrah. Yes?
That would be the case already with Shmurah Matzah, because Shmurah Matzah yourself is more expensive than
normal. Yeah, but Shmurah Matzah is a universal thing, which is already a Minah Kadmon. Oh. It goes back already many, many generations. And there's even a posset quoted to support it, which Shemartim Etzah Matzahs. So when Chumrah has become so widely established that everybody does it, then the question is, some people want to be Machmir and have Shmurah Matzah the whole of Pesach. That's up to them. They feel it's a worthy Chumrah. But that we do not impose upon people. But for the one Kazayas at least, of matzah on Seder night, alright, there are 3 kazaisim or 5 kazaisim, but for that one should use Shmurah Matzah if one can. But if one hasn't got the money, if one can't afford it, then Halacha allows you to buy the ordinary matzah if it was kosher and baked properly. There's no question about it. In fact, you're honest, any mitzvah, you're honest. If you can't afford a pair of tefillin, you're not doing an aveira if you don't wear tefillin. You should borrow one, maybe. Buy one. Don't steal it. But if you haven't got the money, you're called onus. So the halacha is very careful not to impose upon you financial difficulties. We're not going to finish everything today. And as a result of that, we're going to do a part 2. But I'll carry on a little bit more. One thing I remember Rabbi Cooper used to say is that sometimes people take on so many chumras and they ask so many questions that there's nothing wrong with what they want to do at all. And there was a fellow who came once to a rabbi who was asking so many silly questions because his meat was always kosher. So the rabbi said to him, he wanted to be left alone, so the rabbi said to him, look, your dog knows whether your meat is kosher or not. If you're not sure if your meat is kosher, which you buy from the kosher butcher, put it in front of your dog. If the dog eats it, then you know it's not kosher. If the dog doesn't eat it, then he's leaving it for you. Then you can eat it. But sometime later, the Rav meets this guy and says, Nu, how did you get on? He says, Oi, Rebbe, my dog is such a big machmir. That's one of the things I learned from Rabbi Cooper. Another principle. People make a mistake sometimes confusing what is chumrah and what is din. And it's very important to know the difference. In Bereishis, the third chapter of Bereishis, the snake tries to tempt Chava to eat from the forbidden fruit. And what does the woman say to the snake? I'm allowed to eat from all the fruits. But there is this tree which I'm not allowed to eat from. The low sigubo, and I may not touch it. Pentamusum, lest in case I might die. Vayoma anochosh eloisha lomos tamusum. And the snake says, you will not die. What is going on here? Rashi says, hosifo alatzivoy. Chava added a chumrah to what she was doing or not doing. Rashi, another Maharishan presumably, were saying, not only I'm not allowed to eat from the tree, she said, I'm not allowed to touch the tree. Hashem never said anything about not touching the tree. Adam and Chava added it as a chumrah. So she says to the snake, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, I'm not allowed to touch it. So what does the snake do? He pushes her hand against the tree and says, see, you didn't die. This is the Medrash and Avos Rabbi Nosson. Her hand was pushed against the tree and she lived. You see, nothing happens. So if you eat it, you also won't die. The Fichoch Bolidei Guron, says Rashi. Because she added to the Tzivoy, she diminished it. Shenam, as it says in the Mishlei, Al Tosef Al Devorov, don't add. Or as the economists would say, hyperinflation leads to devaluation. She was adding, and as a result of that, look what happened. That resulted in her downfall. And the Yalkut Shemoni Gimel Chaflov says, Ve'ido Eidos Sheker. She was like a false witness by saying what she said. She was speaking a lie. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chavtes says, Oma Chizke Minayin Shekola Moses Goreya. How do we know anyone who adds is really taking away Shneimar Velo Sigubo from this event? So Rav Moshe Sternberg writes in his Tam Vadas in Bereshis on this pasuk. He says it's wonderful generally to be machmir. It's great. But you have to distinguish with the Isur. Once the Satan saw that she regarded the touching as Asur, that made an opening for the Satan to strike. So it's a major principle to need to know what is din. Lashon Hara, you mustn't speak Lashon Hara, that's a din. But certain chumras, you don't have to. The other thing about Chavos, says Rav Sternbuch, is she says pentamusim, lest in case one will die. So there she watered down a bit something which Hashem was saying, because Hashem said, the day you eat it you will die, and she said pentamusim, maybe one will die. So she distorted that as well. And that's the problem with the Sotom. You mustn't let him in even when you're doing chumras. And Rav Hirsch writes on this, he says, Chazal warn us not to set the fence too high. Because if you set your fence too high, it will fall down, and then it will destroy the plants which are growing inside it. That fence is meant to protect. So Rav Simcha Zissel Brody writes in Som Derech, that's how the Yetzer Hara gets to you, by adding chumras to the permitted. Sometimes there's a man who's sick on Yom Kippur, the doctor says to him, you have to eat. And what does the man say? I want to be machmir. I'm not going to eat. That is the Satan saying to you, come on, kill yourself. The Satan has a way, because no, the Satan knows you're not going to go robbing the bank. Maybe you're such a tzaddik, you're not going to speak Lashon Hara. So what does the Satan say? Go and kill yourself. And Rav Dessler writes on this in Michtav Meliyahu. He says in Chelek Gimel, he says, like appearing before a king wearing a really beautiful tie, but you've got a shabby shirt and a shabby suit. And he criticizes the yeshiva bacher who says, I'm going to bring Shabbos in already lunchtime on Friday. He says, you mustn't do that. You'll make others feel as though they're mechalel Shabbos. So there we're talking about confusing the chumrah and the din. You mustn't create this artificiality. So when you say the Shema, you have a din. You've got to have kavanah, you've got to say it properly. But if you're not so mukbid about the way you tie up your shoelaces, okay, you've got to put things in perspective. You have to know yourself when you are taking on yourself chumras. A person, lo amoretz chosid, says in Pekei Avos. If a person takes on chumras and he's not yet at that right level, he can end up falling. We'll talk more about that another time. There's also the idea of haughtiness. If doing a chumrah makes one feel big-headed, then it's going to damage you. It's going to injure you. And therefore that chumrah will not be justified. So in that light, I'd like to end off with something about Hanukkah, because it's Hanukkah in 2 weeks' time. And it's something which you may have heard me say once before, but it's so nice I'll say it again. Rav Mordechai Sasson writes in his Sefer Dovah Be'ito, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch about lighting the Hanukkah light. And the Hanukkah light should be put outside your front door. Ne'er mitzvah, mitzvah l'anichah pesach beisah. You put the Hanukkah light outside your front door, But it says in the Shas HaSakonor, in times of danger, Manichal Shulchono V'dayo, you can light indoors. You're worried about the anti-Semites outside. You're worried you'll get a brick thrown through your window. So you won't light your Hanukkah light outside. Plus practical considerations if you don't have the weather shield. So you light indoors, you're still doing the mitzvah. Manichal Shulchono V'dayo, and it's good enough. Says Rav Mordechai Sasson something amazing. He says this word sakono doesn't necessarily mean danger in the physical sense. He says it's danger in the spiritual sense. You put your Hanukkah light outside, everybody can see it, they can all see what a frum guy you are. But uvishas hasakono, if it's going to cause haughtiness inside you, if you're going to become a galgaiva and big-headed as a result of the fact that I put my Hanukkah light outside, he says that's harming your own spiritual welfare. B'shas HaSakonah, at such a time, Manichal Shulchano, just put it on your kitchen table, V'dayo, and that's good enough. Rather than sacrifice your welfare spiritually. Alright, people give tzedakah publicly to encourage other people to give tzedakah. That is a good thing to do if it's going to encourage other people to give tzedakah and it's done not done out of haughtiness. So when you give tzedakah, it might be done publicly. That's fine. But you've got to have the right mind and temperament for it. It's got to be sincere. And if you see somebody else practicing a chumrah, if it's sincere, you don't laugh at him. But if he's machmir simply because he wants to be a show-off, then maybe a quiet word in his ear might be appropriate. But if you yourselves are machmir, don't laugh at those who are not. And as Tehillim, a pasuk in Kuf Aleph, it says, Eshalech b'som levavi b'kerev beisi. I will go in the perfection of my heart. How? B'kerev beisi, inside my own house. You want to be machmir? Do it privately. Don't do it at somebody else's expense. And don't do it at the expense of another mitzvah. With that, we will say we're adjourning, because next time in the Shia, I propose to deal with further criteria of where a chumrah may be inappropriate or appropriate. Thank you very much. Have a pleasant Hanukkah.